The scripture reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moss and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moss and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve both God and money. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Wonder if you bow your heads and pray for me and with me. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable to you. I pray for the conversation that only your spirit can have with those who have gathered this day. I thank you for the time to prepare for the sermon, for the influence you've had on the preacher, but I pray for all that happens independent of me, and for your goodness, that you come to us in ways that we don't expect, with messages we do not anticipate, or the ones that we most need. So bless us in that way, in this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be home. Along with many others, I was in the Holy Land for nearly 2 weeks, and it was a really tremendous experience, and I pray that everyone will have it. I tried to share a portion of that journey with you every day on my Facebook page or through our V-notes that we use here at Floris. If you've signed up for the it used to be the E-note, now we call it the V-note because it comes in video format. And in video was a great way to do that in that beautiful space that we are in. An opportunity, I've been on that trip before, but an opportunity that we had this time that I've never had before was to have dinner in the home of Christians who live in Palestine. Christians in Palestine are a very small population of the total, but we got to actually go to Bethlehem and have dinner with people who live there. I said to the man in the home I was at, I said, how long has your family been here? And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, how long have you all been here? He said, we've always been here. And I said, but how long? He said, centuries we've been here. I thought, wow, that's connected, right? And we bought, a group of us went to a shop, a wood shop that makes wood carvings out of olive wood, and purchased a nativity set that you'll see in the first Sunday of Advent, made by Christians who live in the town of Bethlehem, and it's really quite beautiful. And I think you're going to find that really. I'm really hoping you're going to find that to be a beautiful thing. It was one of those ideas that you have, and I called home and said, "Can I?" And they said, "Yes, you can." And so it was great. But when we were buying it, you know, the way you buy things in some spots there is you kind of bargain it down, and I love that. I love doing that. Some people don't like it, but it's just for me, that's just such a joy, just to back and forth and back and forth. And of course, I'm just cheap. So I don't mind if we stay here all day and I have to walk away three times. I do not mind doing that work. And so finally, we were getting down to the particulars, and he said, okay, I'll tell you how you can save a little bit more money. I said, how? He said, I'll ship these two tall pieces, Mary and Joseph, but all the rest of the pieces you take home in your luggage. And I thought, well, we've got a big group. Like, that won't be hard. We'll just distribute those out. It'll be just fine. We'll save some money for the church. That'll be great. And I said, good, let's do it. And so he started wrapping them up, and I realized this is a lot of stuff. And then I started gently asking around the group, does anybody have any extra luggage space? And the answer was, no. In fact, people were looking for luggage space themselves because they had also been doing a little Christmas shopping while they were there, and they had some things they didn't really anticipate. And so then a group of us went down to the Old City in Jerusalem, the oldest portion of the historical area there, and there were vendors and shopkeepers. We stopped and got a cup of coffee, and we're sitting around a table, and Tim Ward and I, he was a part of that group. And Tim said, I'm going to go over and just do a little shopping. I'll be right back. And I said, hey, there's a guy selling suitcases in one of those vendors. Ask him what a suitcase. I need a suitcase. Because somebody else said, I can take an extra piece of luggage, but you're going to have to get the suitcase. I thought that's a solution. So I said, Tim, get me a suitcase. And he said, I'll do it. You know, my UVA fan, Tim Ward. He went off. He said, he comes back and a few minutes later, he goes, Tom, I've got a great suitcase. I said, how much? Because I don't want to pay a lot. He goes, oh, I knew that. He said, $30. I said, $30? He goes, hard-sided. I said, oh, a hard-sided suitcase for $30? That's even if it's a one-trip suitcase, that's a deal, right? And I said, that's good. And he walks back out, and he goes, Tom, I've got the suitcase. And then from behind his back, he lifted this up. And he was laughing so hard that I was going to have a pink suitcase. He loved that. He just thought that was so great. And I thought, there's always something with you. Where I said, Tim, you didn't say like navy blue, black, gray, something like that, a more neutral color. He said, oh, I did. I asked for that color. He said, that'll be $80. And he said, I finally looked at the guy. I said, I've only got $30 I'm going to spend on this. And he said, oh, no problem. Here it is. And so then, I got to tell you something, then as we were traveling around and some other folks wanted some real estate inside the suitcase, and I was good with that, but after a while, I started being a little bit particular about what went in the suitcase because the pink suitcase only has so much room, amen? And can I tell you something, when you own a pink suitcase, what you don't want? Another one. Does that make sense to you? Like, it's okay to have one, but you don't want two. And so why am I telling this whole story? We're in this sermon series called Making Room, and here's what I want you to think about. Your life is like a pink suitcase. It only has so much room in it. Is that true? And what are you putting in your pink suitcase? What are you putting in your life? You're putting in primarily activities, responsibilities, and relationships. That's what's in your pink suitcase. And like this suitcase, you are finite. You are not infinite. You cannot be all things to all people. You can't do everything. You can't know everybody. You can't do everything you want to do. Is that true? And you live in the tension of that, don't you? Your whole life is one big trip with a pink suitcase thinking, how much can I fit in here? And if I fit more in, what comes out in order that other things can go in? I want you to think about your life as a pink suitcase. And I want you to be thinking about the Sermon on the Mount. Now, you got to stick with me today. So don't fade. If you fade for part, you're going to lose all. I want to challenge you today that Jesus wants to teach us about how to think about what's in our life, how to make room, and especially how do we make room for the things that matter. And he does this on the Sermon on the Mount. Just 2 weeks ago, we were able to stand on, we don't know if it's the exact site, but we were able to stand overlooking the Sea of Galilee where the Roman Catholic Church has built a chapel, a church, on the Mount of the Beatitudes. And you can really envision it. You can envision Jesus standing there. You can envision the people that gathered around him. And I was able to sit and read the Sermon on the Mount. It doesn't take that long. You can do it in 20 minutes. I'm going to challenge you to do that either today or this week. Matthew 5 through 7. You have to do your work. You know what, friends? You don't have to go to the Holy Land to encounter Jesus. Amen? Isn't that's the best news of all. You just have to open up the book. Imagine yourself sitting there before Jesus as he shares the wisdom, and he's going to inform you in that space about how to live your life. But I want you to see, I'm going to highlight two verses initially of the Sermon on the Mount, because if you understand these two verses, the whole thing will make sense. These two verses happen in chapter 6, and they're on the screen behind me. The eye is what? The lamp of the body. And if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be what? Full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then the light within you, if then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Would you look at the screen? And if you're at home, look at the text on your screen. I would like you to read that to yourself just a second. Now, when Jesus first said this, the people that heard him understood something that you may not understand right now. And it's because you live in the scientific age. When you think of the eye as the lamp of the body, what you think of is the receptors. We think of the eye more as a window than as a lamp. Why? Because what you know is your retina has receptors within it. They receive light. They transfer that light to your brain, and your brain sees everything around you. Is that not amazing? It's truly, when you think about it, it's just amazing. But when Jesus talked about this, he was talking to a group of people that didn't have all that science. They didn't see it as receiving light. Jesus is saying, the eye is the lamp of your body, and if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. You are a lamp. Lamps don't receive light. Lamps do what? They give light. So here's my powerful flashlight, and you can, oh, it's fading. It's a rechargeable battery that somebody forgot to recharge. Do you see a little imprint there up on the wall? Do you see it over there? And now there it goes. Is your head turning? There it is. I love flashlights. Okay, see that? Now, I hope I'm not going to blind you. Imagine your light being a flashlight, and everywhere you turn it, a light shines, right? Everywhere you turn that light. So what does that mean? Most of us think of other people this way. I expect you to show up and have your light on and give me light. And when are we disappointed? When are we most disappointed with other people? When we feel like they're not giving us enough light. And that's why when you have an argument, you don't say, wow, this is what I did wrong. I'm really sorry. That's why you say, hey, you know what? If you would have only X, if you would have only done Y, then I would be happier. Why? Because you anticipate, and I anticipate, that other people will be a light, and I will receive that light and take it in. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, your eye is the lamp. Do lamps give or receive light? They give it. They give it. And a healthy eye is the one that sees and cast light, and does that in a way. Oh, this has like 7 settings. This is going to be rough. It's going to be a rough morning. There we go. So, I'm not picking on you, but I need to focus on somebody. I'm sorry. See this? Can you see the light that I'm shining on this whole family right here? You're celebrities kind of in church today. It's sort of fun. See, I'm putting the lamp. It's Jesus saying, if you have my life in you, when you look at other people, you're going to see things in them, and there are sometimes things that they don't even see in themselves. Have you ever met somebody or talked to somebody, and you thought to yourself, that person doesn't know how smart they are. They don't know how good they are. They don't know how funny they are. They don't know how bright they are. Have you ever had that experience of seeing something in someone that they didn't see in themselves? Hand up if you did. Okay, you know what you're doing in that moment? You are fulfilling this scripture. You looked at somebody's life, and you saw something with the light of Christ that they may not have even seen. They felt darkness. You saw and it's so powerful to be around people who are good at this. Do you know anybody that when you spend time with them, you feel better about yourself after they leave? Do you know anybody like that? And you're just like, I'm smarter than I ever knew. I am insightful. Why? Because the other person did this. But so often, even those of us who know Jesus, we get into a modality where we expect everybody else to be our light. Where if you're not smiling enough, it's making me sad. Where if you're grumpy, I'm starting to get grumpy. Why? Because there's a darkness that's taken over. And so now, why do I tell you all this? Because if you have that context and that framework, when you read the Sermon on the Mount, it's going to make so much more sense. And Jesus says, in the Sermon on the Mount, as you're thinking about what's in your life, he says, look, there are just basically two kinds of treasures that you can put in here, and if you've got eyes to see, if you can see it, you're going to collect the right stuff and put it in your pink suitcase that is your life, your quirky life that you kind of grow accustomed to. And you're going to see there are two types of treasures. And he says, and you heard it, he read it so beautifully this morning, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's one type of treasure, treasures on earth. Where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in what? Heaven. And this is the contrast, treasure on earth, treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there will be what? Your heart. See, it's all about the heart and the light within. And if that gets right, then you're going to see things in other people, and you're going to be the person that when you're around people, they walk away going, I love being with her. I love being with that guy. Why? I feel better about my... I see things in me I never saw before. Why? Because the light of Christ came from you onto the person you were talking to. You know what these two young women said this morning? Can I tell them? I won't do it if you won't let me. Is that okay? I walked up to them. Megan said, say something you're thankful for. I walked up to these two sisters and I said, what's your thing? And she went, my family. And then I looked at her sister. I said, what's your thing? And she said, I was going to say the same thing, my family. Blessed are you, Mom. Amen. Blessed are you that they have the light of Christ seeing something right in front of them. I'm a dad of daughters, so I was like, I may just take you two in. I need some of that. Jesus says there are these treasures on earth and treasures on heaven. And listen, treasures on earth, they're things we acquire, things we purchase, things we collect. Nothing wrong with that. It's fine. Like when there are a lot of things we need for necessity. Everybody needs a good frying pan. Amen? Right? There are just some things you need. And then there's some things you want. We don't have to get wrapped up in all that. But when you read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that these treasures on heaven are the ones you want to go after. And as I was thinking through the Sermon on the Mount in total, and I wanted to pull out the themes to speak of today as we talk about making room and what goes in and what gets taken out, it's very clear from Jesus that there are these treasures. And I think the first one that he talks about is trusting God. It's the trust you hold in the Lord. And this is much of a way of being. It's how you see everything at night, at light. And in my worst moments, this is the hardest thing I do. You ever wake up at 4:30 in the morning, you got a ton of anxiety? Do you ever do that? You know what I found the best thing to do when that happens? Get out of bed. Get my head into something that it's not going to ever find laying there in its anxiety. Why? Because trust is sometimes really tough. But it's available. And Jesus says you can trust. In the Sermon on the Mount, you'll find him say, listen, consider the lilies of the field. They neither reap nor spin. Yet Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed as such as these. Now, when Jesus says this, everything around the people he's talking to is an arid rock desert. It's an arid rock desert. When he says, consider the birds of the air. Consider the birds of the air. They don't gather in barns. And yet the Lord supplies their needs. Jesus is not speaking of the simplicity of life. That's what we do with that text because we don't live in a rock desert. We live in a very place that's rich with water resources and all that's around you, and you can grow things in your yard so easily. But where he lived, it was this arid space. He wasn't speaking of the simplicity of the flowers growing, the simplicity of the birds supplying their needs. He was speaking of the complexity. Does that make sense? And he was saying, friends, look, if the lilies do it, and if the birds do it, won't God much more supply your needs? And what's he inviting them to do as we read his words? What is he inviting us to do? It's behind me. To trust. He's inviting you to trust. And once you begin to trust, you're going to see the difference between treasures on earth and treasures of heaven. Let me show you this little chart. Treasures on earth tend to take us to scarcity. Why? Because when you focus on treasures of earth and you start putting stuff in the pink suitcase, you'll start going, oh my goodness, I may not have enough. And what you'll say eventually is, I need a bigger suitcase or I need more. Because if I go through life, I'm going to need this stuff. And if I, scarcity. That's why people have anxiety. But it's interesting, when you get to treasures in heaven, it's about freedom and abundance. And you don't need as much, and you don't want as much. It just doesn't call to you. Treasures on earth are about amassing possession. More is better. Treasures of heaven are about giving away. They're about generosity. And about legacy issues, not wealth issues. God bless you if you've got wealth and you can create legacy, all to the good. But anybody can create a legacy. I know because I do the funerals. And I have to think with families about this. Momentary happiness comes with treasure on earth. Treasures on earth can bring you happiness. Can I just tell you this? Come on, that new phone, that fancy camera, it's got 8 lenses. Isn't it so good? Better. It's better than the last one. Amen? And you can be happy for at least 3 months before they put that next one out. And it's got 19 lenses, and then suddenly my 18-lens camera. Remember when that was really great? Remember when it was great that you just had a camera on your phone? Remember that? Momentary happiness. The great thing about treasures in heaven is every time you look back on them, they just make you happy. Richest moments of your life. Treasures on earth bring you worry. Why? Because you have to maintain them and they're a hassle. Treasures of heaven have trust. Why? Because you learn that God is an ever-present help, even in times of trouble, and especially. So trust is the basic treasure, but then there's another one, a second one that I'm thinking of. There's certainly more. These are the ones that came to me high above the Atlantic as I was thinking about that trip we had been on. The second treasure in heaven is the people you love. Jesus talks a lot in the Sermon on the Mount about how you treat the people you love, what you say to them, what you do and what you don't do, the boundaries you create, what you offer, what you don't offer. Caring for the people you love is really important in the Christian life. Look at the passages in the Sermon on the Mount and focus your attention on people that you know and relate to every day, your families, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, the members of your church. It includes people you know, but it also includes people you don't know, but you come in contact with. The server at the restaurant, the clerk in the store, the person on the metro, all these people that you're just bouncing into all day long. How do we treat others, and do we bring our light to shine on them? All those lights out in the world. Do we see what Jesus tells us to see? Do we see that they are a treasure? These other people are a treasure because God created them. They're beautiful because their light is the light of the Creator shining within them, even if it's partially or even fully covered. And God knows there are some people walking around with lamps that are covered. Amen? And I got to really examine it. I've got to really look for it. But see, the point that Jesus makes is if my eyes are good, I can see it. It's not about what they bring to me. It's about what I bring to the world. And so I want you to be thinking about the people you love. And especially, we're right before Thanksgiving, Advent, and Christmas. That's why we're doing this series right now. We want you to be thinking right now about the people you love. And when you think about Thanksgiving, when you think about the month of December, that Advent season, when you think about Christmas and even New Year's, are you intentionally lining up your life so that you are including the joy of people that you love? Like, that's just powerful. Because if we don't do it and we just bumble along and we don't attend to this, you end up getting to December 27th thinking, I missed it. Because I wasn't intentional. I want you to think about those people. And then I want you to think about people that are a calling in your life, a calling. And maybe they're not the people, you know, some of the people I want you to think about are people that just bring joy to you. And you're like, I am definitely doing something with that person. But how about the people that are a unique calling in your life? The person who may be lonely, and you know God's asking you to break that loneliness, even for a short period of time. Is there somebody you need to write a note to? Is there somebody you need to call and say, hey, I'm remembering you right now. I can't wait to see you in a couple weeks. You're important to me. Is there anybody that's struggling and God's calling you right now to reach out to them because it's a person you love? And if you do that, then you'll find the Sermon on the Mount. It's going to really help you. And then a third treasure of heaven, it's the good you do. It's the good you do. It's the investment you make in your community and in your world. For Christians, our life is not amassing wealth or becoming more powerful. We understand that those things can be used and stewarded well. And I'm frankly happy when Christian people who really live out their life in Christ are people that lead organizations, people that are important in the government, people that are important in industry and teaching and nursing or doctors or health industry. I mean, just all everything. Think of any sector of our economy. I celebrate when a lived Christian is influencing an organization. Amen? I love that. Why? Because most of the good you do will be in your vocational space. That's where you spend your most time. But then we have to think beyond our own vocational spaces into the community and into the world and ask ourselves, what is it that God wants us to do? And I'll tell you, friends, the Lord has an expectation about generosity. I'm not just talking about your money. I'm talking about the whole thing. I'm talking about the generosity of your pink suitcase. Your time, your talent, your treasures, the whole thing. So if you look at this text in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, so when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, go back one screen. Let's see the very beginning. Read the first line. Friends, what's the assumption here about people that are Jesus followers? What is it? What's the assumption? Generosity. Jesus doesn't say, I want you to consider, please, I'd like you to think about maybe giving to the needy. What's he say? Read it with me. So, when you give to the needy, your generosity is not a special thing you do for Jesus to say, hey, I'm in. It is what people do when they follow Jesus. And people that aren't generous, people that don't think about the world around them or the plight of others, but who are trying to follow in the Christian way are almost always disappointed and always feel it's half empty. And when people aren't generous, it's usually because they're too anxious. Go back to the screen with the grid, if you don't mind. I'm putting the paces back on earth. See, if you're worried about that things are scarce, you can't be generous. If you're amassing possessions, you can't give. If you're just into momentary happiness, you're not ever going to find lasting joy. And if you are anxious all the time about what you don't have, you're never going to find the trust that allows you to be generous to others. And I mean in every way, your time, your talent, your skills. But now go to that text again. So, read it with me, when you give to the needy. And I read that sitting at the Mount of the Beatitudes, and I thought, oh my goodness, he never asked me. He just assumed I would. It was me limiting me. And one of the treasures of heaven is the good you'll do with your life. And you'll never regret it. You'll never regret the good you do with your life. You'll never look back on it at the end of your life and say, oh, if only we had done less. Now you have to learn how to do it with good boundaries. You have to, I mean, you know, all that. But in essence, the trust you have in God, the people you love, and the good you do is your story. That's your story. And it's either a story about the treasures of earth or it's a story of the treasures of heaven. So in your bulletin, would you take out this little sheet of paper in your bulletin? It's called a joy list. If you're at home and you obviously won't have a piece of paper like this, those of you who are live streaming, take a piece of paper that's not even a half sheet of paper, and on the front of it, on the top of it, write joy list, and you're right in with what we've got. That's all we've got is this little piece of paper. Now, here's what I would like you to do with this piece of paper this week as you read the Sermon on the Mount. I'd like you to think about the people you love, the people you're called to love, and the good you're being asked to do. The people you love should be people that when you spend time with them, you're just happier. Because you know what, friends? God wants you to be happy, amen? And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to find happiness by more bigger pink suitcases. You're going to find happiness when you love the people around you and you spend time with them. Just ask the wise people around you. But then think about the people you're called to love, because God wants to use you to bless somebody else, and you're not. And if you can just get those eyes, those good eyes, this won't take you long. You're going to start writing down a couple names. By the way, if you write down 50 names and you need a third sheet of paper, you can't get that done between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Amen? So why did we make it small? Because we wanted you to keep it simple. So if you do that, and then lastly, what's the good God's calling you to do? And we're going to help you at the church. We're going to have a Christmas Eve offering again. And we're going to announce that probably in about a week, about what we're going to do for the Christmas Eve offering, maybe 2 weeks, but probably in about a week. We're going to announce what the Christmas Eve offering is. The Advent gifts, the giving is right out here in the fellowship hall. Just take that light of Christ. I want you to intentionally think, mathematically think about the good you want to do. And some of that will be financial, and others will be time, and others will be your abilities. And your church, during this time, this season of November and December, you know, on to next week, a week from today, from 5 to 6, come to Story Church and hear stories of gratitude. I think you're going to find that a powerful experience of church. No preacher, lay people sharing stories. Come to celebrate the season, or Happy Birthday Jesus for the kids, or Christmas caroling, or bring in your Advent giving. All that's on December the 8th. December the 14th, Kids Christmas Pageant, Christmas Cantata. On the 19th, our Darkness to Light service. On the 23rd and the 24th, Christmas Eve services. On the 25th, Multicultural Christmas Day Worship Service. Friends, how can you make Thanksgiving a time of gratitude to God for all that you've been given? My goodness, you all sang that song up here. I give thanks for all God has done, and I just felt so enriched, no anxiety, when I sit in church. Just the beautiful reminder. All those musicians, vocalists, so fabulous. Can you make Advent a time to make room for people that you love and figure out how to use that limited time to love others that you don't even know very well? Can you make room at Christmas to bless your community and do good? Because your whole life is a pink suitcase. And one day we'll go to heaven. And it'll be done. And when it's done, I pray that people will sit around and talk about the light that they saw in you, the blessing that you were to them. I pray that people who love you deeply and who just two funerals in the last 2 days. I pray that you all have the experience of those families who sat around and rejoiced and gave thanks for the people that they loved, who lived well. Jesus says one thing in the Sermon on the Mount I hope you don't miss. I just hope you don't miss it. He says, but seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And then he says, all these other things you want, they'll be added unto you as well. May it be so with you and me. Amen.